switch on and see what happens. Oi. How are we? Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Sometimes we need the familiar to just settle us at a time of discord or unrest. And the reading we've just heard, John's Gospel, is one of those readings. We know it so well. We could probably all just recite at least part of it off by heart. We know those words. And there's a bit between verse 6 and verse 27, which we also can read, but that 27th verse is probably the one that we need most of all at the moment. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. If only it was that easy. If only it was that easy. I suspect that we arrive in our respective churches week by week and we will pray for peace and we will pray for the world, and then this next Sunday comes round and we do it all again. And we're exhausted. Exhausted, I think, by the unravelling of the world as we see it. The continued conflicts, the continuing actions of world leaders. I'm reluctant to name at least one of them. He has enough airtime. We're overwhelmed by scenes of disaster, suffering, violence. We stand helpless on the edges of what we witness secondhand. But these are our fellow human beings, with families, with friends, with homes, with joys, with sorrows, as do we. So my question to us all is, what do we do, and how do we pray for peace, the peace of a broken world? Remember years ago, my dad was a primary school teacher and a music teacher, and he used to sort of gather books for children's new songs. And I remember one of those books. It was called Sing to God. And in there was a song that kind of it's sort of threaded through my life. And it began when I heard it as a child. It was called Let There Be Peace on Earth, and Let It Begin with Me. I'm sure you've sung it and you know the words. Let there be peace on earth, let it begin with me. Our prayers for global peace seem so hard for our tiny brains to envisage. But we have to start with ourselves before the spread of peace can radiate out into the far reaches of the world. When we say, what can I do? We can do this. We can start with ourselves. Well, we know when we're not at peace, and the hot weather makes us snappy, doesn't it? And a bit irritable because we're hot and we're a bit cross. But we know generally when we're out of sorts. We're not at our best. When our patients come into the hospice, they're given a form, and it's called an IPOS, and it's intended to try and get a snapshot of how the patient is feeling. And one of the questions of that is, have you felt at peace in the past week? Here's a score on 1 to 4. It's an interesting question. Where would we score ourselves today? Do you feel at peace? There's lots of reasons why our sense of peace might be at a low ebb. It might be because we're deflated by the outer reaches of the world. But maybe we have our own concerns. hidden to the people we meet, but deeply troubling in our hearts. Maybe we have that sense that things are going out of control as life goes on around us. We know when we're not at peace. So these words that Jesus speaks to his disciples are crucial for us to have embedded in our minds and our hearts. Peace be with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. But we forget to keep these words in our heads and our hearts. We take our eyes off Jesus, who is our peace, the source of our peace. So when we're bewildered, confused and afraid, we're a bit like a headless chicken roaming around. We don't know what to do. We forget to keep our eyes on the source of our peace. What does being at peace mean? Well, it means that in the core of our being, we have a strength that cannot be shaken, despite all that would shatter it into pieces. We come back to those words of Jesus, who restores that sense of strength and reminds us to keep firm, remain faithful, and address those things that keep peace in our hearts. Maybe there are things we need to do. Maybe there's that letter to write, the phone call to mend, the words to say I'm sorry for. Maybe we need to ask or give forgiveness, restore a relationship that's broken. In a broken world, we need to be at peace if we are to be beacons of peace that shine in the darkness. Let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with me. But the next step on from that is being at peace with others, those in our circle, those who we interact with, those who we know. We've all been overwhelmed and saddened by the images that keep relentlessly coming before our eyes, whether it's from Gaza or Ukraine or Africa, wherever it may be. We are repeatedly overwhelmed. However we look at the conflicts in the world, what we see is this total inability for people of the world to live at peace with those whose culture, whose religion, whose colour, whose creed are different to ours. Nothing changes. If I just hop back to Wimbledon for a moment. There's a lot of changes this year. There's been some rescheduling of matches. We don't have the line judges. Some of those age-old traditions that feel that they make up this rather stuffy club have been eased, and things are working, and it's different. Now, I wouldn't compare the machinations of a tennis club to the world stage, but there's something about this entrenched, we always do it like this, to saying, but what if we do something different? So history in these troubled parts of the world continues to repeat itself in generations of conflict and hatred, and what we have is a burden of sadness bereft of peace. So why are we so afraid of each other? Why are we so afraid of people who are different? What is it in our past or our present that feeds dislike and fear and hatred? It feels to me as if the media's got a lot to answer for as we're fed through our various social media platforms, the information and opinions that suit us. I don't quite understand how it works, but apparently you click on things so you get things that validate your opinion. So we remain entrenched in it. We don't see the bigger picture. We don't hear another point of view. But I was very struck by some of the words that were used in the communion liturgy, that Jesus didn't seek the company of the great and the good. He sought the company of those who were different, who stood out because of their isolation. What if we try to see things differently? What if we listen to another point of view? We don't lose our ability to think for ourselves, to reason and make informed decisions. Jesus challenges his followers through the parables when he says how easy it is to forgive the people you like, but how much harder to make peace with the one who has wronged us. And when we turn to the Old Testament, the note of an eye for an eye seems to be desperately continuing in the mindsets of those who lead Israel. Jesus overturns this and commands us, not invites us or says it might be a good idea, commands us to love our neighbour and to love Jesus as we love ourselves. It's the most difficult of all commandments, isn't it? But it's the instructions, the guidebook of how to build community of peace. Here is personal responsibility: to practice our peace within ourselves, with one another, to resolve difference, to practice reconciliation. To be at peace within ourselves, to be at peace with one another. But what about being at peace with God? I went to see an elderly patient on Thursday who is very cross with God. A man of faith, has been all his life, but now he's saying he's had 2,500 years nearly to get this right, and look at me. He was really, really cross with God. And maybe that's been our experience as well. Maybe we've fallen out with him because of things that have happened to us or other people. Or maybe we share this person's view, who says he's had all this time to get it right. And then we remember, of course, God gave us freedom of choice. He said you can get on with each other or you can create chaos. The world in chaos. Is God judge, jury, and executioner? Or is he love, compassion, and forgiveness? I use the word he, maybe she, doesn't really matter. Is God demanding retribution and appeasement, as some would have us believe? Or is God full of unconditional acceptance and desires his children to live at peace above all things? Because how we see God for ourselves will determine how we find our peace with God. Amos was persuaded to call for peace. Let justice roll like the river, he said, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. In other words, make peace your goal, and let your peace have its roots in knowing the God of peace. Paul writing to the Philippians, calling them to be at peace with themselves. I don't know what had gone on there very much, but clearly there was a need for people to be at peace, to be at peace with each other, and to be at peace with a God whose peace is beyond our understanding, but not beyond our reach. Sometimes at the hospice, I like to use with patients the Russian dolls, you know, the ones where you peel off the layers until you're left with the little one in the middle. And we talk about who we can speak about things that are on our hearts too. And, you know, the big layer is I'm fine. And we peel off the layers, well, I'm not really fine. And, oh, I'm a little bit less fine than you'd like to think I am. Until we get to that little doll at the middle, which for me represents me and God. How am I with God? Am I at peace with him? Whatever our belief or our creed, whether we are people of faith or whether our circles include those who are non-believers, or maybe those who can only wonder, we are all people with a spirit that becomes restless, distressed, and traumatized by life's events. But that same spirit can be soothed and eased and settled when we open our hearts to each other and show God's love and peace through what we say and do. Wherever people in the world turn to their God, let peace be at the forefront of our prayers. Yes, peace begins with us, but our desire for peace is rooted in the heart of the God who wills for his world to be as one, where all people find their place to grow, fulfill potential, and accept one another in love. Amen. So we